newborn rises to greet the world. Tonight we give thanks for every child among us. Each new birth, regardless of circumstances, reminds us of how the preciousness of life, the potential of tomorrow, the promise of God. On this Christmas Eve, we light the Christ candle to the child King, the infant Redeemer, the lowly Lord. And now we know He is born, and nothing ever will ever be the same.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And from the Gospel of Luke, we begin the story. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors."
Thank you.
congregation may be seated. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Thank you. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I couldn't get enough of those kids in costumes. How about a hand for all of those kids? There were some details you might have missed, like the tiger and lion up here in the manger scene, and the black sheep who was wheeled in over here, Baba Black Sheep. And when the three kings came in, one of their gifts I saw was coffee stirrers. They were spilled on the stage. There's all kinds of little details you can only get if you're here tonight. You can only see it if you're here live. You'll hear about it later in lore and legend. But it's good to be together tonight on this night, different from other nights, full of joy and expectation. And I pray that we might find something new, even in this very old story tonight. As we begin, let us pray. O God incarnate, you come to us as a little child. You ask us to open our hearts, to let him in again, in new ways this year. Open our hearts to your word of scripture and to this ancient tale, we pray, ever old, ever new. Amen. I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light glows. And gleams, I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. These were the words that Bing Crosby sang back in 1943 for his hit song, I'll Be Home for Christmas. The song that year leapt to the top of the music charts as it touched a chord deep inside of people, especially soldiers who were serving overseas in the midst of World War II. Over the years, I'll Be Home for Christmas has become a favorite of the holiday season, and it describes a certain tug that we feel inside of us, a pull to get home for Christmas. Now, getting home for Christmas or getting to Christmas is a push or a pull that leads millions of people every year to hit the highways and the skyways, all so they can get home with family. Get home to the place they want to be. Now, all of us gathered here tonight know something about this because for some of us, we made it and we're here. For others of us, we missed it and we're here. Either way, we're all together this Christmas Eve considering the way that travel, the subtext of travel, runs throughout the Christmas story. Reading the familiar old words from Luke chapter 2 and seeing the movement of the children in our midst reminds us that Christmas story takes place in the context of travel. All the biblical characters, from Mary and Joseph to the shepherds and angels to the wise men, they're all on the move. They're all traveling along. They're all trying to get there for Christmas. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. And so Mary and Joseph, like so many others, were traveling that first Christmas. A census had been called, and they had to go and register in their own towns. This sounds very different from the 2010 census, which we just took as a country. In our case, something is mailed to us, we fill it out and simply send it back. No travel involved, no big deal. But for them, you had to go and register. If you didn't go, there were consequences as you lived under the Roman rule. So Joseph and all of his extended family were called upon to go and register. Uncles and aunts, cousins, nephews and nieces, all traveling from wherever they lived, converging on their family hometown of Bethlehem. But when Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, I think you know this part of the story, so help me out. There was no room in the inn. We've heard it before. But this is a very strange part of the story. Because if this was Joseph's hometown, why didn't he have a house to go to? Why should he stay in the Holiday Inn? Or if all of Joseph's family was going together, why wouldn't he stay with them? How strange it is that he should be lodging somewhere else. Well, here's the reason for that. In the Greek of the New Testament, the word that we translate as an inn, no room in the inn, is actually the word for a guest room. The word in Greek is kataluma. Kataluma is the exact same word that's later used for the upper room, a room where Jesus gathers for his Last Supper. So a kataluma is an upper room or a guest room, some kind of spare space in a house where guests might come and eat or sleep. But all of the other relatives arrived before Joseph and Mary. They took that room, so by the time Mary and Joseph arrived, there's no room in the guest room. Mary and Joseph have traveled so far to get there, to be with their families, and then they find themselves out back, laying down blankets on the ground, huddling up to sleep in a stable. I imagine Joseph was none too pleased with his family as he introduced Mary to them, maybe for the first time. But these were the arrangements, and such is the way things happen when our houses get full, when families visit together. I wonder if you can identify with how that might have felt on that first Christmas, a house brimming with energy, excitement, conversations and controversies, overly full, no room in the guest room. Well, out on the hillside that same night, there was another group of people that you've heard about. They were the shepherds who were watching their flock by night. And unlike Mary and Joseph, who traveled to be with family on that first Christmas, the shepherds did not. In the Bible, shepherds are usually portrayed in a really positive light. We remember Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Or that King David started out as a little shepherd boy. Or that Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. But in those days, shepherds were really looked down upon in society. They were not these models of good people. They were sort of despised, thought of as vagabonds or gypsies, even homeless in some cases. They were always on the move. They had no fixed address. They were not the kinds of people who would make plans and keep them. So, unlike Joseph and Mary, who had traveled so far on that first Christmas, the shepherds didn't really travel at all. They were hunkered down there on the hillside, doing their job. And maybe you can identify with them a little bit on this Christmas Eve. Maybe you've got some sheep at home you've been tending to, or a job that says, "Be back at work on Monday," or one that hands you a beeper and says, "Hey, you're on call." Or maybe you're like those shepherds in another way. Perhaps you're wandering a little bit on this Christmas Eve, out on the hillside of your life, not too sure where it's all leading quite yet, hoping you might find something for you. Well, both of these folks, Mary and Joseph, and then the shepherds, they both get to Christmas, but in a different way. They both get to Christmas. And one way or another, we've all gotten here as well. Tonight is the big night. Tomorrow is the big day. This is it. Anyone who has children knows the feeling as it grows and grows. It's about to explode in some cases. This is it. And we've arrived. But you know, arriving physically on Christmas Day is not necessarily the biggest thing. The calendar page will turn, the day will arrive, and we'll be here. But that's only the first step. That's only the first part about Christmas, physically arriving. You see, those shepherds had a vision of angels, and they went to the Christmas stable. And Mary and Joseph, they traveled across the land to be with their family that day. And you and I have put aside whatever else we might have been doing tonight, and we've gathered here. We've come. We've arrived. But physical arrival is one thing, and spiritual arrival is another. We are invited, like Mary and Joseph and those shepherds, to also arrive spiritually at Christmas. The shepherds, they go after they see a vision of angels and they get to the stable. They arrive physically. That could be the end of their story. They said, well, we went to see the circus. We went to see this strange thing that has happened. Now let's go home. But instead, we read what they did. It says that they made it known to everyone what they had heard and seen, and everyone who heard from the shepherds was amazed. These folks from the hillsides are telling us something very distinct and strange. So they spiritually arrived at Christmas. I wonder if you might spiritually arrive along with the shepherds this Christmas, sharing the joy and good news, maybe through the song that we sing tonight, maybe inviting a relative or a friend or a neighbor into worship with us. Maybe in telling your children the story when you're back at home tonight. Telling and retelling, allowing the manger to come alive in a different way. So the shepherds spiritually arrived, and so did Mary and Joseph. I wonder if you might be arriving spiritually this Christmas in the way Mary did. It says that she treasured all these words in her heart and that she pondered these things. Maybe it's the same for you. Are you pondering in this season, treasuring something that you've seen or heard, touched or smelled, an experience of this season or of this night? Maybe you've taken time in these weeks for a special prayer or devotion. Or maybe even tonight, on this holy night of the Christian calendar, might you arrive like Mary, with an open heart, allowing God in Christ to spiritually enter into you again. I guess this, in the end, is my Christmas prayer tonight. There's an old joke that goes something like this to a preacher: say something new about Christmas. Ha, ha, ha. There's nothing new to say, but my prayer for you is this: that you would not only arrive tonight, physically be here, and then move on to the next thing, but you would also spiritually be open to what God is saying to you and doing in you and drawing forth from you in praise, in prayer, adoration, and wonder. May your heart be open to the Christ child who was born again this night, who wants to come in and live with you, dwell with you, walk with you this day and forevermore. Amen. This evening we'll be hearing from one of our youngest members on the piano as we call forward our tithes and offerings. We're taking a special offering called the Christmas Joy Offering. There's an envelope in your pew if you'd like to put something toward that. Let us give back to God something, some part of what God has given us. Let us pray. Amen. Let us pray. Great God, we give you thanks on this Christmas night for all the gifts you give in our lives, the ways you guide us and take care of us. We dedicate now this Christmas joy offering along with all of our offerings. May it be put toward your service and your mission in the world. We give you thanks tonight as we receive you again as a gift. Amen.
The children of the church will be leading us in the first verse of Silent Night. I would like to call forward our candle lighters as well to come forward. And the children.
Holy.
Let us pray. Emmanuel, wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, joy of all the nations, we come to you in prayer. You are the living word born again this night to save us from ourselves, to save your world. You walk with all your people, drawing us ever closer to you in prayer, in thanksgiving, in joy and concern. Into the magic and wonder of this night, give us children's eyes and ears to see and listen for your presence, to recognize your grace in our lives, to seek you ever humbly. We pray for those who come with burdens this night of illness and pain, of grief and sorrow, of worry for unemployment and insecurity, for those who struggle to make it day by day. Touch all with your grace and power, that we might feel the wonder of your love. We pray, O Lord, for our world, for places in need of your presence and hope, for healing the nations, repair from disaster, for refugees near and far. May your spirit come, O Lord, in new ways. Be born, O Christ, in our hearts this night, that we might learn to be your disciples, to love as you first loved us, to live into the kingdom that you brought to earth, through the power of the one who teaches us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us sing together, Joy to the World.
There's a feast waiting for you in the Hope Room. Costumed children are invited back as well to put things away. Now go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all persons, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of his Spirit. And may the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain within you, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Bye. Hi.